إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وعلى أصحاب محمد ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيا إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you and myself to have the taqwa and the piety and obedience and consciousness of Allah inwardly and outwardly. And I'd like to speak to you today about something that becomes very common in the summer as we approach the summertime and we hear about marriages, we hear about weddings, and perhaps many of the youth, our young brothers and sisters who are graduating, they think about getting married. But what are the elements of success in a Muslim marriage? And how do we produce a righteous Muslim household, a righteous Muslim home that will be a shelter for the husband and the wife from all of the difficulties and fitnas that are around them? And how can we produce a home that will be a shelter for the children who will grow up in piety, who will grow up and be a generation that will lead the believers? How can we achieve the success of our Muslim homes? And how can we achieve happiness? And what are the characteristics that we must imbue in our youth when they embark upon marriage so that their household will be successful? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He reminds us in the Quran about the importance and the noble nature of marriage. He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And from His signs is that He has created from you, from yourselves, mates, so that you may find tranquility. تَسْكُنُوا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Sakana in Arabic, it means stillness. It means tranquility. Sukoon, tranquility. So the righteous wife or the righteous husband will be a place of tranquility where a person can find comfort and ease for all of his needs. And this is from the signs of Allah that He has created these righteous spouses for us. And what are the qualities that they have? وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. They have compassion, love, and mercy for one another. So this type of spouse is an immense favor that Allah has given to a person. And Allah says, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنَا. Allah has made from your homes a sakana, again, a place of tranquility. Tranquility where one can find shelter from all of the hardships and all of the temptations and all of the misguidance that is out there in the world. They can come to the righteous Muslim home and find shelter, sakana. They can find relaxation for all of their desires and needs. In fact, Imam Ibn Kathir, may Allah have mercy on him, he says about this verse that they will find from their homes, Allah has given them sakan. He said that it is shelter that protects them from all harms and all things that will harm them physically and spiritually. The home, the house, it has walls that protect you from the elements, from the wind and the rain. But the home, the righteous Muslim home, where the husband and the wife establish the house, the household, and obedience to Allah, and the minhaj, and the methodology of the Quran, then in this home it will be a protection for them from not only from physical harm, but from spiritual harm, from emotional harm, from all those things that will take them away from Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Muslim home, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, it is a responsibility on both spouses to establish this place of righteousness. Because the spouses, in the end, they are the ones who determine the direction of the house. If they are upright, if they adhere to the Quran and to the Sunnah, then they will cause that household to go in the right direction. If they beautify themselves with the akhlaq of the Quran, if they establish prayer in the house, if they raise their dhikr and the remembrance of Allah in the house, and they keep out the evils from their house, then this will not certainly be a place where the next generation can be raised up on piety and righteousness. And in fact, every great leader, and every great nation for that matter, it has to begin from the home. In order for any nation or any ummah to be successful, the home has to be the environment, the cradle of raising the leaders for the next coming generation. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, husbands and wives, your homes are fortresses. You are producing a fortress to protect yourselves and your children from the penetration of the shaitan. This is your job. This is your effort that you must make. You are responsible to guide your, to guard your house from all evil and all harm. And the first responsibility falls upon the husband, because he is the qayyim. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. The men, they have the authority and the duty to upkeep the household and their wives. And obeying the husband is mandatory in order for the success and the proper relations between the husband and the wife. The Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَمَسْعُولًا رَعِيَّتِي. All of you are responsible, and they will be asked about their responsibility. You will be asked about it. A man over his family, and the wife over the household, the husband's home. What did she take care of the children and the house and protect them from the harm? So the man has the first duty, but then of course the wife, she has an utmost responsibility in raising the children on taqwa. And the best example that we have for a Muslim home, the best example of course is the house of the Prophet ﷺ, the best of houses. But we look at his house, his houses, were they filled with luxurious items? Were they filled with gold and emeralds? He could have had all the emeralds if he wanted. He could have had the most luxurious castle if he wanted. But he lived a life of asceticism, a life of simplicity. Because all the luxury and extravagance, it does not bring happiness. It doesn't bring success. But his home, the Prophet ﷺ's households, they were filled with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Always filled with dua and prayer and dhikr and Qur'an. And this is why, this is an example for us. The Prophet ﷺ was commanded to even tell his wives, if you want all these luxuries and extravagances of the dunya, then I'll give it to you. O Prophet, say to your wives, if you should desire the worldly life and its adornment, then come and I will provide it and give you a gracious release. But if you should desire Allah and His Messenger in the hereafter, then indeed Allah has prepared a good reward for the doers of good. And of course his wives, what did they choose? These righteous and noble women, the noblest women in history, they chose Allah and His Messenger in the hereafter. So this luxury, the Prophet ﷺ's household was one of simplicity. And we see now many houses built like castles, filled with all kinds of luxurious items and electronics. But you look in the home, and the child, the son, is up and away in his room. The father is in his room on it, doing his own things on the internet. The wife is doing something else. Everyone is apart. So the luxury, it doesn't bring the happiness in one's household. The Prophet ﷺ had the simplest of houses, yet they were the most content. His wives were content with what he gave them, with what they had. So contentment on the part of all of the family is an important quality of a Muslim household. Also, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the way to establish this noble generation, to establish our youth in these households, is that we have to apply the manners of the Qur'an in the house. Yes, the Qur'an, every household, everyone in this room has a solution for all of his problems in life in his house. On his shelf, the book of the Qur'an is there. But the key to the Qur'an is to apply it, to have it affect our character, to live by it, to pray in the household, to lead the family in prayer, to have obedience of Allah, to stay away from the haram, and to enjoin and follow all that it commands. The Qur'an was not revealed only to decorate the walls or to be worn as jewelry, but it was revealed as a huda, guidance for all of humanity. So we have to revive the spirit of the Qur'an, the application of it, the practical application of the Qur'an in our homes. So this home, when it's built upon the Qur'an and the faith in it, the iman, then the children will grow up and they will become like we had in the past, heroes, dedicated worshippers. The women will be righteous. They'll be sincere leaders. These are the qualities that we have to imbue in our children. And in fact, it is not as difficult as one may think to raise our children on righteousness, because this is their fitrah. كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ Every child is born with a pure nature, but it is the parents that cause him to be astray, to become a Jewish or Christian or a Magian, as was narrated by Bukhari on the Prophet ﷺ. So the parents, they have the role of protecting that fitrah. If it's the parents that cause them to go away from the fitrah, then it is the parents that will guard their fitrah and keep them on the righteousness that Allah has created them. And for this reason, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on him, he said that the children, the biggest cause of corruption of children is because the father did not teach his children when they were young. And so when they got older, it was impossible to correct them. So the father, he has to guard the fitrah as well as the mother. And how beautiful would it be if we gathered our children in the house and told them stories of the prophets and read to them read to them ayahs of the Qur'an or ahadith, tell them stories that will increase their iman. This is what should be done in every home, to have the halaqas of knowledge and ilm. So my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the first priority that we have in marriage and in cultivating a Muslim home is to raise children that are righteous. And that can only be done through practical example. How can you have a child, tell a child to pray if his father doesn't pray? How can you tell a daughter to wear her proper and noble Islamic clothing if her mother doesn't wear it? How can you tell them to believe and remember Allah if they are busy with the worldly things? So the first and most important way to teach your children is by example, by showing them through your own character. And this is why we see the dua where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds us, رَبَّنَا حَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا O Allah, give us from our spouses and our children the coolness of our eyes. But then he says, and make us imams for the righteous. Imams are ones who set example. They have to be examples. The parents have to be examples for their kids. And this is why Allah says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah says, command your family to salah, but you also keep patient in it. وَاسْطَبِرْ. It's a very strong form in Arabic. وَاسْطَبِرْ. And you be consistent in your prayer. You cannot command your family to prayer and you yourself, or I myself am neglectful of my prayers. So we have to have examples in our homes for our children. And so this will be a cause of the guidance of our children. Ibrahim alayhi salam, whenever he made dua, he always made dua for his children. Anywhere in the Quran, search the Quran, any dua that you find from Ibrahim alayhi salam, he makes dua for himself and for his children. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. Oh Allah, make me of those who establish prayer and my children. And my children. So look at Ibrahim's children. Was his dua answered or not? SubhanAllah. He made dua always for his children, and Allah caused from his children to come all of the anbiya of his time, after his time. SubhanAllah. So the importance of making dua for our children, to wish to them to be on hidayah and guidance, on tawheed, especially living here in the West, we have to make an extra effort, an extra concern for our children to be on salah and on right guidance. And also, we have to preserve the Muslim identity of our children. They have to be proud of their faith, proud of the Sahaba and the leaders of Islam. They have to preserve their connection to Islam and their loyalty to Islam. But if they're always taught to imitate, whatever they see, we have to copy. The neighbors have this, we have to have it. I saw this on TV, I want to do it. My friends at school, they're doing this, we have to do it. If they're taught to imitate, then their identity will be erased. There will be nothing left for them to be proud of. They should be proud of what they're different. They're proud, they should be proud that they pray it at night, or they fast in Ramadan, or that their heroes of Islam are different than the heroes of people here. They should be made proud of their identity. This is something that will affect them throughout their life if they have this connection to Islam and connection to the believers and the believing righteous people. So this is one of the most important aspects, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam. And just one or two more points. This is a very important one that all of us can begin to practice, which is that all of our disputes in affairs in a Muslim house have to be referred back to Allah and His Messenger. This is the key to true success. Whenever we have issues or disputes in the house, we must refer to Allah and His Messenger and then submit to Allah and the Messenger. This is what Allah commands us in the Quran. It is not for a believing man or woman, if Allah decrees an affair, that they have their own choice. When Allah and His Messenger, they command a thing, we have to have the obedience. Your children will see it in you. They'll see it in you. If you fear Allah and you leave the haram, as soon as you know it's haram, they'll see that. And that will affect them and they'll follow that. So the husband and the wife, and all of their affairs should be referred to the scholars and to the teaching of Islam. And also, and finally, in this first khutbah, I remind you that our homes must be filled with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to fill our homes with the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal, whether it's through du'as, whenever they wake up, whenever they go to the bathroom, whenever they begin their food. Reminding them, make du'a with them, so that it becomes part of their life, their daily routine. Dhikr of Allah is part of their daily routine. This is what the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. He said that the difference between a house in which the name of Allah is remembered and the one which the name of Allah is not mentioned is like the difference between a dead person and one who is alive. A house without the dhikr of Allah, it's dead. There's no life in it. And the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to pray all of our prayers in the house, except for the maktuba, except for the five mandatory prayers. He said, pray in your house, so your children see you praying. They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let them pray with you. Let them come with you and pray with you in your salah. And also, The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the shaitan runs away from the house that Surah Baqarah is read in. So reading the Qur'an in the house, this will cause the shaitans to leave. But if your house is devoid of dhikr, I guarantee you that if there isn't the mention of Allah, then somebody else will come. The shaitan will come in that house, as the Prophet ﷺ has described. It becomes a dwelling place for the shaitan. Houses that are filled with movies that have no mention or no fear of Allah, or graphic websites, these corrupt the household. They corrupt the beliefs and the morals of the family. People are not in dhikr of Allah. How many movies do we see now in Hollywood or Bollywood? All these movies that take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the shaitan will come into that house if there is no reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these households. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, to fill our houses with His remembrance and with His obedience, to always obey the Quran and the Sunnah. May Allah accept from you and me. Astaghfirullah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم اللهم تقبل منا وزدنا علما أما بعد. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, chastity is one of the most important qualities of a Muslim. Chastity, protecting his chastity from what is haram. And we see how many households have been torn apart by explicit websites and explicit television programs even, and movies. So we have to guard again our houses from all of the passageways that the shaitan takes into our home, whether it's through the television or through the internet. Remember, the household is a fortress for the believers. So we have to protect our homes and guard our chastity. A man should guard the chastity of himself, and the wife should guard her chastity and her privacy in her home. And also from the qualities of the successful Muslim household is the husband and the wife helping one another in obedience to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ, when he woke up at night for Qiyam al-Layl, he didn't pray alone. He didn't stay the whole night alone, but he would wake up Aisha. Oh Aisha, wake up, pray with her. He would wake her up at night. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, may Allah have mercy on the man when he wakes up for prayer, he wakes up his wife with him. And even he has to splash water on her face to wake her up. And then he said, for the wife, may Allah have mercy on the wife who wakes up her husband in prayer and even splashes water on her face in order to wake her up for prayer. And perhaps you know the story of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. He was one of the greatest scholars of Hadith. Al-Fath al-Bari is one of his great works. His wife became a scholar at his hands. His wife, her name was Uns. And she, after the marriage, he used to teach her all the time in the house. He used to teach her hadith until she herself became a alima. And when Ibn Hajar was busy, he would have his students come and he would write and he would have his wife narrate hadith to them. This is recorded by Imam al-Sakhawi. So you see how the scholars, they made effort to teach their wives and help one another and rectify one another. When the husband's iman is weak, the wife reminds him. When the wife's iman is weak, the husband takes her and gives her guidance and helps her. And of course, no household will be successful without knowledge. Knowledge has to be imbued within the household. What will lead us to the hellfire or to paradise? What are the etiquettes of purity, of tahara, and prayer? What is lawful and unlawful? These are things that we cannot be ignorant of in order for our marriages and our households to be successful. And also, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, in order to be successful, we have to build our relationships, our friendships, whether it's in marriage or outside of that, based on the taqwa of Allah. You all know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever goes to a righteous person, it's like he visited a perfume seller. Either he'll get some perfume, or at least he'll go home with the beautiful smell of that righteous companion. But that the evil companion is like a person blowing the bellows of iron. Either he'll get burned on his clothes, or he'll go home with an evil smell. So the Muslim family, they build their relationship with others based on the taqwa of Allah, based on the piety of Allah, not based upon who is rich or who is famous, but whoever is pious, they invite them into their home. And this is why Nuh alayhi salam used to say, may Allah Rabbi ighfirli wa li walidayya wa li man dakhala baytiya mu'minan. Oh Allah, forgive me and my parents and whoever enters my home as a believer. He was careful to only have righteous people in his home, because evil visitors, evil guests, they will spread corruption in your house. They will spread evil in your house. And you want to prevent any harm from coming into your home. So we should be careful to guard our guests. And finally, again, the husband and the wife should help one another, even if it's in household things. The husband helps his wife, as the Prophet ﷺ would serve himself food and milk his sheep and sew his own clothes. So this will put love between the husband and the wife. It will grant mercy and mawadda and rahmah, the goal of our marriages, inshaAllah ta'ala. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, if our wish is to have a happy life and to be successful with our families, it will never be achieved by money and luxury. I guarantee you, wallahi, it will never be achieved by money and wealth. That will not buy happiness. True happiness is only through the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living a house of righteousness, creating a household of righteousness. This way your marriage will be an act of worship. It will be an ibadah. And you will find love and happiness in your home. And this way you will raise a true generation that will be successful, that will be leaders for the future. We ask Allah to raise our children on piety and righteousness, and to guide them and guide our wives and our husbands, and rectify them and make our homes filled with love of Allah and the Messenger, and obedience to Him, and obedience to the Qur'an, and the recitation of the Qur'an. Allahumma fir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma shfi maradana warham mawtana ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أصلح أمورنا كلها يا الله يا قيوم السماوات والأرض. اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم أحسن ختامنا وختام المسلمين أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أكرم الأكرمين. وألف بين قلوبنا وقلوب المسلمين أجمعين، وتقبل منا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. عباد الله، اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وأقيموا الصلاة.